Welcome to The Word at First Press Church of Arlington Heights. The sermon is based on Scripture to help us see how God was at work in the lives of the faithful in their time and how God is at work now in our lives on our journey of faith. I invite you to listen for how God's Word might be speaking to you today.
Our first Scripture reading comes from Psalm 148. Listen to God's Word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights. Praise God, all God's angels. Praise God, all God's hosts. Praise God, sun and moon. Praise God, all you shining stars. Praise God, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for God commanded, and they were created. The Lord established them forever and ever. God fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling God's command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of all the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together, let them praise the name of the Lord, for God's name alone is exalted. God's glory is above earth and heaven. The Lord has raised up a horn for God's people, praise for all God's faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of John, beginning with the 31st verse in the 13th chapter. This is part of the longer section in John that describes the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This morning, we are celebrating our graduates. And at our 9 a.m. service, we also welcomed two of our youth as new members. All of it feels like a celebration of possibility, of standing at a threshold, crossing over from what has been to what could be. As I study today's scripture, with awareness that we are now in graduation season, I also found myself reflecting on the meaning of the word commencement. Although we often associate it with the conclusion of a course of study, the word comes from the Latin commanditare, which literally means to begin. So while commencement comes at an ending, at its core, it's about something new beginning and looking ahead to what's next. And that's exactly what's happening in the reading from John's Gospel today, as Jesus gathers with his disciples for what will be their final meal before his arrest. He's not just preparing to say goodbye. He's preparing them for what comes next. He has just washed their feet, a radical act of humility, and Judas has just stepped into the night to set betrayal into motion. It is in that intimate, uncertain moment when everything is about to change that Jesus turns to the others and speaks what might be called his own commencement address. Commencement speeches across cultures are often words of guidance offered at a threshold, spoken not just to celebrate or reflect on the past, but to prepare people to carry something meaningful into what comes next. In that spirit, Jesus offers this charge: I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. The commandment is not new because they've never heard about love before. It's new because of how love is defined. As I have loved you. That's the shift. Jesus is raising the bar, not just pointing to a generic love, but to a love shaped by his life, a love that includes, forgives, serves, and sacrifices. On a day like today, when we honor achievement and look ahead with hope, it's striking to me that Jesus doesn't offer a success strategy. He doesn't give a formula or a motivational slogan. Many graduation speeches focus on success, which makes sense. But our faith invites us to ask a deeper question. What does real success look like? Our faith reminds us that the most lasting impact isn't found in status or recognition, but in how we love. One commencement speaker who understood that well was Fred Rogers, a Presbyterian minister, educator, and television host best known for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Speaking to Dartmouth College's graduating class in 2002, he said, "When I say it's you I like, I'm talking about that deep part of you that allows you to stand for those things without which humankind cannot survive. Love that conquers hate, peace that rises triumphant over war, and justice that proves more powerful than greed." Jesus says, "Just as I have loved you." And that's a high calling. It's not a love you earn or a reward for good behavior. It's the kind of love Jesus offers even to those who will misunderstand him, abandon him, betray him. Which means this love isn't rooted in perfection. It's rooted in grace. It's love that says, no matter what comes next, you belong to something deeper than fear and wider than failure. That's the kind of love that changes lives. That's the kind of love Jesus calls us to choose. And right there, we name what this church claims as its mission: choose love, be the light, change the world. It begins always with the choosing, because Jesus helps us understand that love is a decision we make again and again. That kind of love leads us naturally into the deeper question of purpose, not just what we will do with our lives, but why. Oprah Winfrey, speaking to Harvard's graduating class in 2013, reminded students that love and purpose go hand in hand. "The challenge of life, I have found," she says, "is to build a resume that doesn't simply tell a story about what you want to be, but why. A story that's not just a list of accomplishments, but a story that's really about your purpose." This is why we turn today not only to Scripture, but to the voices of those who have spoken into moments like these, commencement speakers and real-life witnesses who remind us that choosing love can lead to unexpected and beautiful transformations. One such story comes from Chris Gardner, whose life was portrayed in one of my favorite films, The Pursuit of Happiness, with happiness misspelled on purpose. In the early 1980s, Gardner found himself homeless while raising his toddler son. Despite tremendous personal hardship, he chose to prioritize his son's well-being over his own comfort. He didn't pursue success out of ambition alone. He pursued it because love required it. He took unpaid internships, stood in soup kitchen lines, slept in subway bathrooms, and carried his child in one arm while holding on to hope with the other. Gardner eventually became a successful stockbroker and founded his own firm. But the heart of his story is not triumph. It's love, the kind of love that changes lives, that stays present when everything else falls away, the kind of love that gives even when it has nothing left. That's love like Jesus. That's the kind of love we are called to choose. It's the kind of love that commencement speakers like Jacinda Ardern, former Prime Minister of New Zealand, have pointed to. Speaking to Harvard University's class of 2022, she said, "In a disordered world, the path of least resistance is cynicism, but the path of courage is kindness, the path of strength is empathy, and the path of leadership is love." What she names as courage, strength, and leadership, Jesus names simply as discipleship. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Not if you have all the answers, not if you get everything right, if you love. When you live that way, when you choose love, especially when it's hard, you are being the light. And light, even in small flickers, changes what we can see. It changes what's possible and even helps others find their way. One last quote. Desmond Tutu, in a graduation address at the University of the Western Cape, South Africa, said, "Do your little bit of good where you are. It's those little bits of good put together that overwhelm the world." We may not be able to change everything, but we are always able to bring something of God's love and light to the places we go. So to our graduates and to all of us moving through change, may you start with the choosing of love that helps you carry light into places that need it most and changes the world not by power, but by grace. Because Jesus did not say, "Try harder." He said, "Love one another as I have loved you." May you choose love like that. Amen. Thank you for listening. To learn more about the ministries and mission of First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, Illinois, please visit firstpresah.org, where you can get information about our services and programs, including times and directions, and communicate with us about a prayer request, any questions you have, or how you might like to get involved.